Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February the 17th. Joining us this morning, Mr. Rex Bone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, good. You hear that your buddy Fieri bought Ferndale Meat?
I did.
Yeah. Were you any impetus behind that whole scenario coming down?
No, but I did. It was funny. I was at the office a couple weeks ago on a Sunday, and my phone rang, and it was Guy. It was on another situation, but I thought it was kind of funny. Look down and go, But no, we're working on a little thing for September 2022, so there'll be more stuff coming out year from September.
Yeah, boy, I'm trying to figure out how do we get to summer. Good. Well, if there's good things in the works, then that's enough.
There's
right?
always good stuff in the works.
Yeah. Well, okay. Are you ready for your question here?
Sure.
Ever wonder why cowboys wear such unique boots?
Well, the point is so you can get them through the stirrups easy enough, so you're not fighting to get them in the stirrups.
Has nothing to do with cockroaches?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Or putting them up somebody's, anyway.
All right, before we get into trouble here, there are three characteristics of cowboy boots that make them unique. There's the pointed toe, the high heel, and the wide unlaced top. The reason for these are as follows. The pointed toe is to make it easy for the cowboy to insert the foot into the stirrup.
Bing!
Okay. You want to take a shot at the heel?
No.
All right. The high heel is to enable the foot to get a firm hold on the stirrup.
Stirrup.
So you were close. Yeah. And the wide top is so the cowboy's foot can easily slip out of the boot if he falls off his horse in such a way that the boot gets caught in the stirrup. Nothing to do with snakes.
It's all about the stirrup, baby.
Oh, boy. Ain't it the truth, huh?
Yeah.
Holy cow. This is really weird, not having floods. The second year, we haven't had any significant floods during when we should.
Well, and we haven't.
Historically.
You know, and the issue is we haven't had a whole bunch of snow in the hills and then have, you know, like the 64, the Pineapple Express and everything else.
Yeah.
And we just haven't had those issues.
Yeah, it's not even white in the hills.
Eel River was... No, but we're getting a pretty good snowpack at Tahoe. Tahoe's getting up over.
Well, that's okay. As long as it feeds the valley,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we're okay. But, you know, normally you can look inland and you see.
Turkey Alps are getting pretty good snow. I mean, you know, that's going to be good for the lakes and things like that. Are we going to hit our 100% this year? Probably not. Are we going to have to put all the drought people back to work? We did that once, and then they said it'd take 3 years for the lake to fill up, and it filled up in 1 year. We do get climate here, you guys. And, I mean, it's the one thing about it, I've always said we've had climate change for 50 years because it changes every few years.
Every few years, yeah. Have you heard anything about Ruth Lake with the fires from last year? Is there concerns? Was there any proactive work done to keep the erosion?
I think the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, because I was in discussions with them, was up at the lake a few times and stuff like that, and have my nephew had, and they have property up there and stuff, and they got right on cleaning things up, and they got the water board up there and got as much stuff cleaned up, because that does feed, you know, that's a great lake because it fills up in 3 days.
So, right, right.
You know, there's not an issue of that one ever, you know. They never say, hey, Ruth Lake's empty in March. But, you know, but the issue is they've done a really good job on the cleanup and everything else, trying to get things going. But there's environmental concerns and everything else everywhere they go. So a lot of that will settle out long before it ever gets to the rainy wells and stuff like that. But they've done a pretty good job cleaning up there. And we haven't had the snow kind of set everything in. We haven't had a lot of large landslides up there. They've had a couple.
Right.
But that was...
Yeah,
I mean,
we haven't heard 36 is
that
in
was
trouble.
That was a pretty devastating fire, so...
Well, and just kind of taking everything
it
away.
It took everything.
There it is, get a little rain, and now, you know, it looks like Big Sur.
Yeah, I mean, we were out there. My son and I were out there packing stuff out at one night at 10 o'clock at night because, you know, and then it actually didn't get hit until a month later. We were ahead of the game. We thought it was going to hit, and it didn't, and it came back in, you know, 3 weeks or whatever. So that was quite a fire.
You know, you're rarely right accused of being ahead of the curve like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, seriously. Seriously.
This time of the year, though, that's normal stuff.
Yeah.
What is it allowing the weather? What's it allowing you to be able to do now that you wouldn't normally be able to do? Yeah. Just get out and visit and see more folks?
Yeah, you try. We haven't had any major slip outs. I mean, we're still fighting. We're on our third year fighting the Panther Gap issue, but we're having to deal with other agencies.
That's historical.
To get a right of way. Yeah, and to get a right of way. A lot of our major roads have not had huge issues because, you know, Shelter Cove Road was fixed, or the big slide that was the issue there and things like that. So Public Works has been doing a pretty good job. Some of the FEMA money's coming loose, but we're still looking for FEMA money from 3 years ago. But the problem is there's been natural disasters and thing in other parts of the country.
That are more
on site right now, affecting so many people at one time, and then throw a pandemic on it. And the pandemic's the greatest thing in the world. I tried not paying a PG&E bill the other day because of the pandemic. It says that's not going to work. So, no, I mean, everything going wrong in this world is blamed on the pandemic. It has been an issue, but we've overcome things like this before. So,
a lot of times we'll hear about the PILT monies, payment in lieu of taxes,
yes.
the timber folks. And how far in arrears the Interior Department is, or the Forest Service, depending on, you know, how far down the pecking
only
order you
12, go. 14 years. Has there
been any speeding up of that? Any discussions towards that?
And that comes with also the school funding also, both of those. And RCRC, we've been back to Sacramento. We've been to Washington, D.C. on this just for this.
Just for
the payment in lieu of taxes. Oh, yeah, because the counties that are affected the most are the rural counties.
The ones that have no voters.
But they have all the, I mean, almost 90% of the recreational lands in California are in the smaller counties.
How many congressmen are elected from those areas? Half a dozen, maybe?
Yeah, well, I always love the number.
There's not a huge mass to go and bang on a door.
Well, no, they're the distinct minority in California like they are in Washington. But, I mean, you take a look. I mean, you take a place like us, we have a state senator that goes all the way from Marin to the Oregon border, and an assemblyman that goes, basically from Marin to the Oregon border. And then you take an area like L.A. County, which is the same exact size, not the same exact size, but within 5%, the same amount of square miles as Humboldt County. And I think they have 26 or 18 assemblymen for L.A. County. It's a huge number, but they're also close to 25% of the population.
But this is a federal challenge, right?
Yeah, it's federal and state, but they can bang on the doors of the feds. They have a little louder knock when they can get the state of California, as you know.
Oh, maybe we get a U.S. senator north of Marin County. Just a thought.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, and we'll continue thinking when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex. One of the challenges, we've lamented it, we've kicked it around forever, and I think it's probably just endemic as long as the state is in the union, is that nobody really cares too much about our end. Politically, there's not a lot of weight, there's not a lot of energy, there's not a lot of influence from our area, unless there's an endangered species involved and we get run over. Okay, fine. So in a situation like this, where there's nice platitudes, some nice stuff putting into play, it's kind of like some of the Indian contracts from the 1800s. Well, let's revise it. Let's consider it. Let's delay it. Let's ignore them. It's not that big a deal. How do you break out of that scenario, that syndrome, and get somebody's attention without having a U.S. senator, let's say, from Santa Rosa, rather than from Los Angeles or San Francisco or Sacramento?
Yeah, I wonder sometimes, and then there's other times. Do we really want them up here?
Oh, there's blessings associated with that, too.
The blessings far exceed, I think, sometimes. But it would be nice to be able to get some of this.
Just a recognition.
Yeah. But, I mean, the payment in lieu of taxes and the little things. Because, I mean, those are roads that we maintain that, you know, going to these places where they recreate. You got to remember, close to 80% of the 80% of the water that the state consumes comes from rural counties. Smaller counties when you're getting over to, you know,
up in the foothills,
Alpine Mono, all the upper ridges and stuff like that. And so when you think about it, you know, that we should get some recognition, but they do when they tell us what to do with our water. I mean, we're still fighting 30 years later for our 50,000 square feet that they're supposed to give us in the Trinity,
right?
You know, so I mean, it's
now the new administration gives an awful lot of lip service, I guess is the word, talking time, to natural resource, environmental concerns, things of that nature. Is this an opportunity, perhaps, for them to catch up and to honor some of these agreements? Or do you think it's more platitudes that sells well on the East Coast and maybe in L.A., but as far as the actual benefits to that community,
I think our benefits are going to be a little bit better in the next 4 or 5 years because we have, you know, we have an assemblyman and a state senator who came in basically at the same time and who were freshmen or new to the seat, knew everything else. And now you have term limits. So all the, you know, they've got 12 years to get what they want to get done. Well, most of the people that were the big dogs when they came in are gone. And now they're starting to be looked at. They're getting plum assignments. They're getting more say.
But as you said, there's still one vote.
There's still one. But hopefully they're supporting them and their votes. So they will support, you know, Senator McGuire.
Yeah, there's the quid pro quo.
And that's a big deal and stuff like that. The advantage is they're both Democrats, and it's a Democratic-led, you know, House. So, I mean, those things play in our favor to a certain extent that we get looked at as long as they work what's good for our, you know, good for our county up here. And, again, as you know, we're pretty divided on that. But, I mean, basically it's affordable housing, jobs. You know, good, clean jobs, but we fight about everything that comes in here. Because
but infrastructure is a big deal, and that's where these dollars go, right?
It's a huge deal. Yeah, it's a huge deal. I mean, we've got a, we're doing a great job out there on Highway 36, but it's we're trying to fix a road on a bunch
on
of mud.
Slide. Yeah,
you know, and it just keeps they keep having issues with it. But I mean, and they keep doing
how much money does this represent?
The PILT funds?
Yeah. I mean, if it came in, how many of these projects might be really addressed so that they're not reoccurring?
It's not a lot of money, but it's our money, and we can we can apply it to those things.
Well, yeah, you can always leverage it too with matching funds,
and we can and right now SB1 funds from our gas tax and everything else, the state is getting so much funds. They're having trouble, I think. You know, you see the signs Caltrans is hiring, and that's great because that helps us. I'd like to see a little bit more of that comes back to our rural roads and our county roads. And it's great. We have great representation at Caltrans here.
But rather than Cloverleaf.
Yeah, yeah.
Or straightening out Richardson's Grove, finally.
Yeah, it's
get some of these projects.
That one just seems to be such an easy fix. I mean, I don't think people realize, I mean, where that little tourist trap they had there. You used to pull in right off the highway there and park there.
Yeah.
They used to be parking right
there.
They had
great donuts.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it was right there in the middle. Because I was driving truck through that 45 years ago, so 47 years ago. So, I mean, it's always been an issue. And the trees have gotten bigger, and they've encroached a little bit. And it's not going to change anything. It's, you know, the big argument was it was going to bring Walmart in. Well, damn, they're
Look
here.
Around, guys.
Yeah. It's here. I mean, you know, it's not going to change anything. It's just going to help some of it. It will help Sun Valley immensely. It'll help Barbara Groom immensely. It'll help Chev Cheese because they can put it in a bigger truck to go to the East Coast.
Well, and the stuff.
And then they can haul freight back on a 53-foot trailer that'll make weight coming back. So the freight costs go down. And they don't have to repack. They don't have to repack it in another truck because there's no way around it. You lose 2% every time you repack a truck.
So when it comes here, then the cost of the goods sold to our folks is down.
Yeah.
And they, you know, in theory, some of that will get passed through.
Yeah.
So it'll cost less to live in Humboldt County then.
But it's, you know,
what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, and it's just,
And the safety issues.
Yeah, and I mean, it's 98% of the roads, 99% of the roads in the U.S. allow those, you know, the state highways allow those type of trucks.
It just, and then we got the slide up north, too.
Yeah, and that one, you know, that one year, that at one time they kept saying that was going to be almost 20 years, and I'm going, oh, my God, I don't think it'll be. If you take a look.
Have you heard the timeline changed at all?
They've upped it a little bit, but it just seems to... It's moving at a snail's pace, it seems like, but I also know it's a big ask. With that being said, I know Green Diamond.
Yeah,
some
really
of it's
going
to go across.
Up, yeah.
And Green Diamond says, what can we – it's not say, hey, we need or you have to give us. It says, what
no,
can we do
No, people are
for
pulling
you?
For it. It's like
Green,
you got to get
Diamond,
somebody's attention.
Green Diamond is a local company based out of Washington, but they are really, really strong on this.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Rex, one of the challenges, I think, during this scenario that we're playing out or this experiment that we're living is keeping our culture together. Yeah, and it's tough. You know, you point and say, okay, drug culture, they seem to be doing okay. All right. This culture is doing okay, this one is, but regular guy mainstream. You know, you hear the national press talking about education. Well, we've got high schools here that are still going. We've got elementary schools here that never are interrupted. So this dichotomy or almost a bipolar approach to education is a little frustrating. What kind of sense do you have with what's going on? Are we going to get some permanent solutions? Are we going to keep bouncing around? Is the fella in the public officer, Ian, is he going to continue to kind of be going as he has? What kind of read do you have here as we're looking at 12 months of this thing?
Well, pretty much our public health, which is doing a great job and trying to do as much as with the vaccines they get. But we're basically getting our plays called into the helmet from the state. We're following what the state does. We're not differing too much on that.
An array for the Supreme Court, by the way.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, if there's two things I think we need. I the kids need some sort of interaction with other kids, and I would like it to be in a school setting because then it's controlled. I mean, you've taken a look at Ferndale, Fortuna, Riadale. I've been down to all those schools, and they're doing a great job. And the kids, I mean,
there's no outbreak in those schools.
I saw some kids, they had a case, I think, a couple weeks ago in Ferndale, and they quarantined the 16 other kids. No other outbreaks in them, but they brought it into the school. Didn't get it at school, none of the kids got school. They caught it right away. I mean, this is what
it
these
can
teachers,
be done.
That's what these teachers live for, is to make these kids better. So they're not going to put them in jeopardy. You know, I said something the other day, it's not about the income, it's about the outcome for teachers, you know. And they really, but there are kids. And
you're trying to coin that one? Is your phrase?
No, it's not mine.
Okay, good.
No,
okay.
It's not mine. I stole it.
Yeah. I know.
Don't say it. Big on plagiarism here. No, anyway, you take a look at these parents. I mean, I think I mentioned that. I don't know. I had a little girl that I ran into the other day give me this big hug. And her mother called or texted me later and said her daughter was crying afterwards. And she says, what's the matter? And she says, I just haven't got to hug anybody. And she says, it made me realize, I mean, we're trying to make it as normal. Parents are trying to make it normal. But some parents
aren't.
Some parents aren't.
Or can't.
Or can't.
Yeah.
There's both there. There's aren't and can't. And the thing is, that's the normalest they get is sometimes when they get around their other kids. And that's where we make the difference. And I... You know, I've helped with a couple rallies. I've been asked, and I've I'm not against it, is let them play. It's got over 70,000 people involved in it, and they want to get some kids out there safely playing. Because can they do it safely? 47 other states are. So, I mean, and there's nowhere any of the variants don't say what state it comes from. It's a variant of COVID. So, and as they change this, I mean, I heard the other day that the next surge is going to be bigger than anything we faced, our public health officer said. I'm going, man, how do you
max this one?
How do you overcome? But how do you overcome stuff when you're putting that out there like that?
You deal with it when it's in front of you instead of letting other people whip it up.
And so I worry about what we tell people, but I also want to let people know there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The vaccines are rolling. I said this 6 months ago. I said by May, I think we're going to have a glut of vaccines because you can have, which is not as effective, but that Johnson & Johnson's coming out. So give that to the younger people that aren't more prone, you know, that these young ones. Because if you look at the numbers, 24 to 39 are the carriers right now.
Right.
They're the biggest numbers. Give them that so they, you know, and so we can, you know, start protecting them and hopefully, you know, they'll be more aware of what's going on. And it's all education. I know.
Do you have faith in the numbers that are being reported? I mean, we had the thing last week with New York underreporting.
I don't have
vastly.
I don't have faith in the stock exchange numbers. I mean, I think anytime there's numbers and there's people involved with giving the numbers, I think money's associated with those numbers. Our numbers. We're putting a big effort forward on how many vaccines are coming in, how many are coming out. But our medical health partners, St. Joe's, Open Door, Southern Humboldt Health down there. United Indian Health. I was talking to a young lady yesterday. She said, I get my shot yesterday. I looked, and she says United Indian Health had called her. And they were excited about it.
I think there's a big push.
They're doing our partners are doing a great job and when I say partners, they're partnered with public health. So we're doing the best possible job with the tools we have. And I'm probably the one that gets frustrated the most, and I apologize for that. But this is frustrating times for everybody.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, this gathering kids, letting them play together. You got school boards that are involved. You got the health guys and gals that are involved. You've got the parents that are involved. So what is this let them play?
I think it was started by a couple football coaches down the valley. And it was, you know, it was centralized around football at first, but it's all sports. And now I know some sports now. I think we can do tennis, swimming, and cross country now, I believe. I don't know, or they can practice. I actually see all the little leagues are starting. I just put a post out for Redwood Empire, shared it, that they're going to start doing tryouts, evaluations. They're not tryouts anymore. They're evaluations.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What happened?
I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway.
Are these still hot dogs?
Yeah, they're still hot
dogs. Okay, good.
So, yeah. What was the one I saw? People eat corn dogs, hot dogs, and chicken nuggets, but they're worried about what's in the vaccine. But anyway, that's another story. But it's basically a bunch of parents, coaches, a lot of parents. And they've had a couple rallies here, and they've both had over – they had one down here at Senator McGuire and Assemblyman Wood's office. It was extremely well attended, extremely well put on, had about 10 speakers, most of them kids, wanting their senior year, wanting the effort. You know, some of them are actually pretty good athletes. And the focus was on athletics because that's what it is. But the other thing we were focused on is after school activities as a whole, band, travel.
All the extracurricular.
FFA, any of these other projects that they do, because your graduation rates go up double digits with kids that are involved in after-school programs because they have to meet certain guidelines, grade point averages to be involved. But you have another set of adult eyes helping a child after school to make themselves better.
Right, it's almost a built-in mentor.
Yeah, so it's not – athletics get, you know, the ink and the paper. But there are so many – other after-school projects, band, drama, that oh, just...
The, just think of all the clubs that meet after.
The Spanish club. I mean, there's 26 clubs, I think, at Eureka High, I believe. And it adds so much to the diversity of a young person's education. And then anytime you're in any of those clubs, I can remember, you know, basically sports, wrestling, anything like that, you make friends that last a lifetime in those things. Yeah, the guy, the person sitting next to you in school, they're always going to be a friend. But that person, when you get down to that smaller core group that you've actually done something with, either played the fiddle with or the football with or whatever the case may be, that creates a bond. And then they have those clubs go on through the summers and stuff like that. And
well, as well as having something to do that's fun, that is looked forward to.
And I was talking to a lady the other day who's a school counselor or a school psychiatrist. And she says, I am so scared what we're going to face the next 2 or 3 years. And I read something the other day.
That's the legacy of this, or trying to get everybody kind of coming back together?
Yeah,
again?
Trying to get everything to come back to what it used to be. And, I mean, so these kids, and right now, you and I are going to survive this. You and I are going to survive it. My kid's going to survive it. Right. I don't know, my three grandsons, and this is because they have a wonderful mother, And their dad does a good job about getting them out, getting them to the, because their school in Fortuna for the oldest, and their daycare has still been operating. So they're getting that. And I could see that. And then they push them along, both outdoors and inside activities. So, but like we said, not all kids have that. And I worry about those, because those are the kids we'll have to worry about later on in life, as we do with some others now.
Yeah, we talk about the digital divide.
Yeah,
and socioeconomic. Well, there's the cultural has always kind of been part and parcel. It just hasn't been identified.
This will shock you, but we've been trying to get Suddenlink. I mean, something as simple as a lot of people live out in Elk River. Well, once you get around past Berta, they can't get very good internet out there.
Right.
So how are you going to tell your kids to Zoom to your class when you can't even pick anything up? And then if you want to, it's $160. and it doesn't matter if the school gives you a laptop if you don't have one. Here's a laptop to help you learn on if you've got nothing that it won't receive anything.
Right. If you got to go somewhere to use it.
Yeah. So it that's getting to be an issue. And rural is where we miss out on the broadband. That's where we miss out on. And
well, so, we've talked about that for a long time.
It's always been an
issue.
Whether
it's Oric or some of the other
communities. But, through this whole pandemic, if we do anything through this, if we can get out of this making our kids whole, that's the only thing that's going to make this successful.
Well, and on the flip side, once it's there, I bet you there's going to be a whole lot more community-based activities. Bringing people together, because the itch is so
people just want to do it. It amazed me how many people sat at home alone for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just because they see the chance of getting a vaccine, so they said, I don't want to get around a group of people.
Tom Bay? Tampa Brady, which one? To be determined.
I like the fact that he got hammered and almost fell off his boat. I thought that was funny. He is human. He's not a machine.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.